Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On May 13th, 2021, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Much to talk about today on this morning's edition of Catholic Connection. And I am honored that EWTN asked me to be the host and the interviewer for a beautiful Facebook Live event that they're doing today, this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm having a conversation with Sister Angela Di Fatima Colo and myself, of course, yours truly, all about Fatima, the cause for canonization for Sister Lucia, and the still timely messages of Our Lady of Fatima. Again, you can watch on EWTN Facebook Live, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm very, very honored and can't wait. I have seen the film Fatima. We'll have more information on that this afternoon. I've also been to Fatima myself, so this means a lot to me. Today is also the 40th anniversary of the assassination attempt on the life of then Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. Wow. Big day today. And I was just talking in the first hour of my program with a wonderful professor of theology that we have at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. You may be familiar with him because he's been on EWTN. He also has a number of books. His name is Dr. Robert Festigi. And he was just talking about the gifts that we have in the approved apparitions and to always go to the approved apparitions. And we see things happen and we hear things. That's fine. They may or may not be true, but we leave it to the church to vet what's happening and to investigate. The church goes through exhaustive means so they don't mislead the faithful to help us understand whether these messages, if they believe these messages are actually from the divine. So it's very important to follow the approved apparitions. And there's such gifts, as Dr. Festigi said earlier on my program today, from these beautiful approved apparitions of the church, whether it be today in the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, or Our Lady of Lourdes, or Our Lady of Guadalupe. So many gifts that we have in our Catholic Church to really study and take to heart. So we'll be talking about that with Sister Angela. She's a world-renowned expert and speaker on Our Lady of Fatima, and we'll be doing an interview this afternoon on the cause of Sister Lucia. She's a postulator of the cause. And also just talking about the movie and her thoughts as we move forward and learn from Our Lady of Fatima. So that's coming up later today. On the program this morning, we have Father John Trigilio. Speaking of EWTN, you know him well. EWTN Publishing has put out a terrific new book, Web of Faith, of course connected to their program, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. And it's all about actually the most common questions and difficult questions that Father John and Father Ken Briganti receive in their work as apologists for the network. And so this will be, I think, a really interesting as well as fun segment, two segments with Father John as we discuss our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, as we always do here every day. Today happening to be a Thursday morning edition. And then you may have noticed that our weekly segment with Joan was moved to today, because Joan was traveling home to the U.S. So she's stateside, but she still knows all about Rome. Joan's Rome. Joan knows Rome. And so she's joining us live. And she'll also share, speaking of Rome, what it was like traveling, which I think will be very interesting to see her experiences. It's the first time she's been back to the States, I believe, since COVID hit last year. So it'll be very, I think, interesting and eye-opening in terms of travel. And the good news is that there's all this pent-up demand for travel. And there's also ways to get to Europe on COVID-free flights, whether you've had the vaccine. She said they didn't even ask for her vaccination card. They did ask for her negative COVID test. She said that was as important as her passport. And I was reading one of the news sources that I go to for all things Italy to keep up to date because of my work in travel and Italy pilgrimages. And they are looking at working with the airlines and having more COVID-free flights, which require passengers, I understand, to get a test 72 hours before they board, and then when they land in Fiumicino, they take an emergency like swab test, on-the-spot test, and then on return, you have to get a negative test results done in Italy and then bring that back to the airport with you. And I'm not even sure that's going to be around for that long, because the rates, thanks be to God, of infections are going down and they're opening up more and more. So we'll just get the latest from Joan. I know a lot of people have been emailing me and asking me about pilgrimages resuming and when we can travel overseas again. And for those who are still concerned about the vaccine, if they'll be able to get over to Europe. And so we'll try to ask those questions to Joan, and we'll keep you posted on that as well, because again, things are changing and they're offering different options or different people. So that's all good news. Thanks be to God. Already 5 minutes past the hour, pretty clear across the country. Could get some thunderstorms in the Kansas and Oklahoma areas. But other than that, we are pretty good to go. In Michigan, the Midwest, it's warming up, going up to the 70s. Over the next couple of days, which is just wonderful. All right, let's see what's happening in and around the world. First in the news, it's 5 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning, and you're listening to EWTN. A second U.S. bishop publicly supporting the Archbishop of San Francisco's challenge to Catholic politicians who are pro-abortion. Catholic news agency explaining Bishop Donald Hying of Madison stating recently, "We pray for those leaders who pursue government policies and laws which seek to further entrench abortion rights and other assaults on innocent human life." He also said that St. John Paul II reminds us a nation that kills its own children has no future. The bishop recommending a May 1st pastoral letter of Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco entitled, "Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You." The letter outlining the church's teachings on worthiness to receive Holy Communion and the necessity for Catholics to assent to the church's teaching, especially on the life issues. Bishop Hying, the second U.S. bishop last week to publicly support Corleone's letter, Bishop Thomas Olmsted of Phoenix on May 6, calling the letter a powerful defense of the church's teaching on the dignity of all human life. Pope Francis is once again holding audiences with the public. The Pope speaking in front of members of the public during his general audience today for the first time in 6 months. Actually, that happened yesterday. As Linda Bordoni from Vatican News tells us, the Pope saying that Christian prayer, like all Christian life, is not a walk in the park, pointing out that many people we meet in the Bible and in the history of the church did not exactly have a comfortable prayer life.
Continuing a cycle of reflections dedicated to Christian prayer, the Pope focused on the theme of spiritual struggle and on how prayer is not always easy for our human nature. Prayer, he said, certainly gives great peace, but praying is not something easy.
Pregare non è una cosa facile.
Every time we want to pray, we are immediately reminded of many other activities, which at that moment seem more important and more urgent. Almost always, after putting off prayer, we realize that those things were not essential at all. The Pope went on to explain that the Catechism lists a long list of enemies of prayer, but it teaches us that prayer, although a free and unmerited gift of God's grace, can be affected by our human experiences of discouragement, sadness, or disappointment. The worst enemies of prayer, he said, are to be found within us. He singled out St. Ignatius of Loyola's spiritual exercises to help us, describing them as a short book full of great wisdom, which teaches us how to put one's life in order, helping us to understand that the Christian vocation is militancy. It is the decision to stand beneath the banner of Jesus Christ and not under that of the devil, trying to do good even when it becomes difficult.
Pope Francis also saying yesterday that persistent prayer can lead to miracles because prayer goes directly to the heart of the tenderness of God. Today, May 13th, marking the 40th anniversary of the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square, John Paul II crediting Our Lady of Fatima, as Catholic News Agency explains, with saving his life, saying that one hand pulled the trigger, another guided the bullet. On the first anniversary of the assassination attempt, John Paul II making a special pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal to thank Mary for saving his life. Polish Catholics will mark the 40th anniversary of the attack in St. Peter's Square with a Mass at the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in southwest Poland that takes place 5 p.m. local time, and that Mass will be live-streamed by EWTN Poland. In other news, a candlelight vigil is taking place tonight to remember the 6 killed in a southern Colorado birthday party shooting over the weekend. Mothers of Murdered Youth founder Jennifer Romero says it's about supporting the victims' families through this very, very tough time.
We want them to know that the community supports them, the community feels their pain, and we don't want something like this to happen in Colorado Springs. We don't want this to happen again.
The 6 were shot to death last Sunday in what police are calling a domestic violence-related attack. The shooter also took his own life. And the grocery store in Boulder, Colorado, where 10 people were killed back in March, will be renovated and reopened. Jessica Trowbridge for King Soopers says the company is working with the city to expedite that project.
We are making a significant investment to completely renovate both the interior and exterior of the building. The redesign will be thoughtful and will include input from our associates and the community.
The store should reopen sometime in late fall. Boulder city leaders are in the early stages of planning a permanent memorial for the shooting victims, which could be located near the store or in another part of the city. U.S. and British Airlines are canceling flights now to and from Tel Aviv as violence between Israeli and Palestinian militants escalates. American Airlines canceled flights from JFK Airport today after scrubbing them on Wednesday, United calling off flights on Tuesday and Wednesday, and Delta also canceling flights yesterday. British Airways saying today it's canceling its flights and will monitor the situation closely. Rockets fired from Gaza and Israeli airstrikes have left dozens dead in recent days, and what those watching the situation call the worst violence in the region since 2014. Mark Mayfield tells us the Colonial Pipeline is operational again.
The company announced it was back up and running yesterday afternoon following a recent cyber attack. The pipeline serves much of the south and east coast, and officials say it will take several days for the supply chain to return to normal. The shutdown has led to gas shortages and long lines at service stations across the south.
Meanwhile, reporter Tom Yamas explains why those long lines for gas are about to get worse before they get better.
The Colonial Pipeline is back online, but fear is still fueling the frenzy at gas stations. Outages in major cities making finding gas a guessing game, and in some cases, leading to violence.
The pipeline that runs from Texas to New York shut down last Friday due to a crippling cyber attack. It's expected to take a few days for the delivery supply chain to fully return to normal. Experts say that means gas shortages from panic buying will continue this week and may spike again due to demand. The good news, it should be all over in time for the busy Memorial Day travel weekend. House Republicans ousting Representative Liz Cheney yesterday morning in a closed-door vote from the number three spot from leadership, but the Wyoming Republican remaining defiant on the way out. Republicans saying they believe that Cheney's continued comments against former President Donald Trump and what they see as conflicting statements against leadership were playing in Democrats' hands and becoming a distraction. Ohio's Governor Mike DeWine is lifting statewide COVID-19 restrictions.
Ohio Department of Health Director Stephanie McLeod will remove all pandemic health orders except those for nursing homes and assisted living facilities, effective 3 weeks from today on June 2nd.
DeWine saying his decision comes on the heels of the CDC approving the Pfizer vaccine for children ages 12 and up. He said there will be plenty of opportunities for residents in his state to get vaccinated. The governor also citing improved COVID metrics as cases and hospitalizations continue to decline. The CDC is finding more cases, as Sarah Bartlett reports, of serious blood clots linked to the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine.
The agency says it's identified 28 cases among the nearly 9 million people who've received the shot as of May 7th. That number was 17 2.5 weeks ago. Earlier reports of the blood clots led the CDC and FDA to pause the vaccine on April 13th, which was lifted 10 days later. The CDC noted all 28 cases involved people who got the shot before the vaccine was paused.
And research in the Pfizer and BioNTech coronavirus vaccine is still effective against variants of the respiratory illness. Yesterday, the New England Journal of Medicine reporting experiments on multiple strains, such as a UK variant and its mutation, showed that Pfizer's vaccine had a high effectiveness. However, scientists did note that tests still need to be done in the real-world situations. They also added that new variants of the illness will be discovered and will be needed to be kept track of. And Rory O'Neill tells us a number of Americans worried about catching the virus. That's at a new low.
Last summer, 59% of Americans were worried about catching COVID-19. The latest Gallup survey now has that number down to a record low of 30%. Poll data shows 5% are very worried, 25% somewhat worried about catching the virus. Overall, 69% say the virus situation is getting better, but that's down from 77% in March. Despite some glimpses of normalcy, hesitancy to resume travel and be in large crowds again remains high.
President of the University of South Carolina out after admitting his weekend commencement speech plagiarized part of a speech by the former head of U.S. Special Forces. University trustees accepted former President Bob Caslon's resignation yesterday. He said he was truly sorry for sharing retired Admiral William McRaven's remarks without any attribution. Castlin's speech last weekend was nearly identical to the one McRaven gave to the University of Texas graduates back in 2014. McRaven told the graduates to take risks when times are the toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. 15 minutes past the hour on this feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, 2021. Web of Faith, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. Father John Trigilio from EWTN joins us up next on your Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Check out our great resources, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And don't forget, this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, I'll be hosting a live EWTN Facebook event interviewing Sister Angela, all about Sister Lucia and Fatima. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
From the archives, this
is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
We need to pray for the gift of knowledge, not just knowledge of our faults, but knowledge of God. Do you know God? Or is he just somebody that you go to when you're in trouble? This gift of knowledge is a certain amount of detachment. We're attached to everything, little things, silly things, chairs. Don't sit in my chair. Why? Because it just fits me. It doesn't fit you. You're too fat. Well, if you ever said that to somebody, you're attached to what? A chair. You can be attached to God, and you can love everybody. You can love your children and love your parents and love even your enemies. But attachments take the soul out of your heart.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a Thursday morning, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Working on getting hold of Father John Trigilio, live radio. He's not answering his phone. We'll keep trying. In the meantime, looking at this book, if you want to check it out on our EWTN bookstore page, religious catalog page, Web of Faith, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. So there's all kinds of great responses to very important questions and some difficult questions as well in this book, and I'm hoping we can track down Father John Trigilio. If not, we'll just get him rescheduled. But I encourage you, in the meantime, to jot down the name of the book, Web of Faith, and head to our EWTM religious catalog to check it out and take a look at it. I do want to mention again, I'm so excited and so honored that EWTN has asked me to host this beautiful event on their Facebook page this afternoon on Facebook Live. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be interviewing Sister Angela, who is amazing, a brilliant woman. And she is actually was the postulator for the causes of Jacinta and Francesco, who are now saints in the Catholic Church, two of the seers. And now she's performing the same service, doing the same service for the church with the cause of Sister Lucia. So we will have a conversation today, this afternoon, again, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. It'll be live on EWTN's Facebook page. And we're also going to be talking about the film Fatima, which is in theaters right now. And if you have not had a chance to see it, boy, I would highly recommend it. I thought it was so well done. I think I mentioned this last week or a few days ago. And I have had the opportunity, thanks be to God, to lead a pilgrimage with Steve Ray to Fatima. And it really, I think they just did such a beautiful job in capturing the land, the experience, what it was like for those young children. And it takes you right there, and you are there walking in those fields with those children, and you can just imagine what it must have been like for them. And the acting, these kids were just excellent. I don't know where they found them, but they were very, very good and very convincing. And then one of my favorite actors, Harvey Keitel, was in it as well. He plays this this doubter, the skeptic. He's a researcher and a professor who researches alleged miracles. And he is sitting down, and he's an imaginary character. But I thought it was very well placed in the movie because it a lot of people have questions and they have doubts when they hear these things. And, you know, God can handle the questions. So I thought it was a very wise move by the creators of the film to put this very convincing actor, Harvey Keitel, there with Sister Lucia. She's sitting behind the grate, and she's, you know, answering his questions. And she even said, you know, I don't have the answer to everything. I'm just sharing you my experience and what I learned from this. And you take it, you do what you want with it. And I thought it was just very, very well done and very moving in the music. Of course, how can you go wrong with Andrea Bocelli singing anything? But it's just quite beautiful, and I really recommend that you go see it. So that is today at 2 o'clock. We'll be talking about the film. We'll be talking about the cause of canonization, and I do hope that you can join us on EWTN's Facebook page. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. And we'll also just get Sister's take on the movie, her thoughts on it, and what she believes are the messages that are most important from the approved apparitions of Fatima. She also received, and we're going to get into this a little bit. I don't have that much time on Facebook because these interviews are pretty quick. I think we're going about 20, 25 minutes. But back in 2009, she was nominated to become the postulator for the cause of the canonization of then-blessed Jacinta and Francesco. And it was a unique privilege. And she was just so blessed to do this, and she'll be talking more about that this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Yay, we found Father. Father John Trigilio is with us now. But again, a reminder, 2 o'clock live on EWTN Facebook. I'll be interviewing Sister Angela, and we'll be talking about our feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, also the movie Fatima, which is now in AMC theaters. Right now, let's go to Father John, and we do have another segment with him. We're going to have to break pretty soon. Father, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us about the book. This is directly connected with the program and some of the challenging questions you've received over the years, correct?
Yes, it is. We selected the most popular and, I'd say, most intriguing questions, and as well as the most common ones.
Okay, so share with us what comes up over and over again in folks having a hard time or being challenged by the faith. What do you think?
Well, I would say the typical things differentiates Catholic Christianity from Protestant Christianity, certain doctrines, say on the Blessed Mother and the Pope and the sacraments, as well as moral issues. And we get a lot of questions from Catholics who are confused or maybe not too well catechized, or they want to help their non-Catholic relatives and friends understand. And then we get questions from people who are not of the faith and would like an explanation. And what we try to do is show them that the faith is reasonable, even though a lot of it has to be believed by faith. We want to show that it's comprehensible.
So you broke this down into different segments, correct, starting with doctrine?
Yes, we want to follow the format of the Catechism of the Catholic Church that came out in 1992, under St. John Paul II. And so we take the four pillars. So we have doctrine, we have morality, we have the sacraments, and we have the prayer and spiritual life. And that's how we divided the questions.
Do you find that in the last few years with us, especially the last year with this crazy of things have gotten, and we see more of what it says in Isaiah, where evil is good and good is evil, do you find yourself having more questions dealing with morality issues, issues pertaining to the church's teaching on being made in the image and likeness of God, male and female? What's coming up more frequently, do you think, now?
I would say it's almost a spread across the board, which I didn't anticipate. I thought it would be like you said, but because of the pandemic, a lot of people having time at home, we're getting a lot of doctrine, but also liturgical questions, especially at the beginning of this last year when a lot of people weren't able to go to church, receive the sacraments, they had time to think about what they were missing. So all four of them, I would say, equally stretch the imagination.
All right, let's take a break. More with Father Tijulio on the other side of the break, Web of Faith, from our friends at EWTM Publishing. Answers to the most difficult questions Catholics ask or get asked. This is very good, not only for those wanting to learn more, but also those who wanted to help others learn more as well. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are three. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good, and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first two criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Having a great conversation with our friend, very well known to our EWTN viewers, Father John Tijulio from Web of Faith 2.0, the program. The book is Web of Faith, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions. I think this is great, and I love if you look at the book on the back, talking about questions Catholics ask, Father, but also get asked. And I think it's really important, the second part of that, almost as important, because we need to know our faith if we are to explain it and to evangelize, correct?
Absolutely. And you get, I mean, people are going to listen to a friend or a family member first. They're not going to, a non-Catholic isn't going to come to the Catholic Church and knock on the door and ask to see the priest or deacon right off the bat. They're going to have questions. And usually it's like family gatherings or at the restaurant that say, hey, what's with this infallibility business or indulgences? And they hear things on the news or that. And so it's their friend or neighbor that knows things. And that's why it's part of evangelization. If you can, even if you don't know the answer on the tip of your tongue, hopefully this book will be a resource where you can go to look at the index and find out.
So in terms of the show, talk about its development, how long you've been on the air with it, and what about the show in terms of the questions has surprised you?
Well, we've been on the air for about 20 years.
Wow.
Beat Gilligan's Island.
For those of us old to remember, old enough to remember Gilligan's Island, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I started with Father Bob Levis, a priest of Erie, who was my mentor when I was a minor high school seminary, and we did it for 10 years. I think we started in 1998 with Father Bob, and we did the show based on questions that he and I used to do online on the internet for EWTN and Mother Angelica. And then they said one day, we'd like to do a show. And I said, based on what? On you guys answering your questions. And I said, well, it's going to be kind of boring because I sit at my computer and I type. That's how I answer the questions. And they said, well, no, you and Father Bob be in the same room. And I still didn't understand what they meant. And they said, you're going to talk to each other out loud with the questions are on the screen. I said, oh. So that's how it started. And then when Father Bob retired, because he was like 98, 96 at the time, he retired. Then Father Vigenti, my classmate, we were in the seminary together, he picked up where he left off. So we went from Web of Faith to Web of Faith 2.0. Mm-hmm. And that show's been on the air for about 10 years. And then Doug Keck came to us one day and said, how about we do a book version of the Web of Faith? We'll get the most commonly asked, the most common questions. And we said, okay. So we edited and went over with all the people at EWTN and Sophia, the questions we thought were most relevant and most often asked. And that's where the book thing came from. And we're just happy it's out now.
So what surprises you? I mean, in addition, I know the history of it is very interesting, but what surprises you when continuing to do the show for 20 years? I mean, it sounds like the same questions, you know, nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes, the basic, you know, tenets of the faith that people struggle with or don't understand. Or
It's funny that they'll ask the same question, but in a different way. There'll be a different emphasis. So because there's only seven sacraments, there's only 10 commandments, there's only one Apostles' Creed, and there's only one Our Father, Lord's Prayer. Those are the four pillars. But the way people ask the question or how it applies, especially in the area of morality, is a bit different. And that's why it's always, you know, ever new, ever the same. That's the beauty of it. So you never run out of material, and people will ask maybe the same question from the week before, but in a different way. And that's why it never gets boring. People say, oh, that's all been answered. Well, no, it hasn't. And yet there's this continuity in there that I think resonates with people.
I'm wondering, in terms of the Catholics willing to research their faith, I know sometimes over the years we can expect to be spoon-fed and given answers quickly as opposed to looking them up for ourselves. Do you find that to be similar with some of the people that contact you?
Oh, yes. I think people want an immediate, they want like a tweet. They want a Catholic tweet. They want like a short answer, which sometimes you can do that. You know, did Jesus have siblings? And we'll say no. That's the most direct answer. But then you have to explain the context of why does it say in Scripture your brothers and sisters here. So that's why it takes a little bit more than a one word or one sentence answer. And that question and answer format, you know, it's goes back to the time of Plato and Socrates, the Socratic method, but it's also very catechetical. It's, you know, ask the question, and, you know, like the old Baltimore Catechism, that format works for people these days, and I think that's why people are sort of interested in asking these, I would say, eternal questions that obviously Holy Mother Church gives us the answers, but again, it depends on us human beings alive here on Earth to be able to flesh that out and spread that to other people.
We have to be willing to work and dig a little bit, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's your faith, for crying out loud. I'm always amazed how many people would leave the church because someone asked them a question and they didn't have the answer. Instead of looking it up or coming to us and asking us, they'll join some false doctrine. They'll say, well, why do Catholics worship Mary? And they'll say, oh, I wonder why. But they won't find out that we actually don't. You know,
right.
We give her the highest veneration, but we don't worship her, but they think we do. And here they've been a Catholic all their life, and it's like, well, why didn't you look that up? It's
right.
So easy to find out.
Well, I know I was guilty of that for so long when I was a fallen away Catholic, where I would spend a lot of time, we spend so much time, right, on researching and looking for the best price on a car or the best location
yeah.
for a home, or we spend all this time on planning our wedding, but then when it comes down to the most important thing in our life, our relationship with God, we're like, oh, whatever, we don't, and I was guilty of that for years. And it's interesting because when my husband and I were coming back to the church, EW Chan was just starting. They had been on the air, I think, we'd been on the air for about 5 years, and I wasn't even that aware of it. And so as a result, we had to do our own research and our own study, which I look back now, and I think that was such a gift. I'm so grateful that when I discovered EWTN, but at the same time, having to do it on our own, I think, was really that what helped me affirm me in my faith.
Oh, absolutely. And I had to do that myself when I was in the seminary for 12 years, because most of it was not accurate or orthodox. And so we had an underground church, so to speak, seminary movement that we had to learn on our own the stuff they weren't telling us, because the catechism of the church didn't come out yet. I was ordained in 88. Which, by the way, my anniversary is tomorrow, the 14th.
Aw, congratulations.
Thank you. But I wouldn't be a priest today if it wasn't for Father Levis, who taught me. And he also taught me how to find things out, how to look things up in the church documents and in the Summa and papal encyclicals and that. So, like yourself, you know, it was I had to do some research, but it was well worth it.
Yep. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on the show, I'm going to be diving into the World Communications Day statements from the Pope, which are just little
marvelous
nuggets. They're just fantastic, and so many people don't even pay any attention to them. I didn't for years, but it's a treasure trove. Father, thank you so much. God bless you. Congratulations on your anniversary. Thank you for saying yes to the priesthood, and thank you for your great work on EWTN.
Oh, thank you, Teresa, and thanks for the wonderful workshop you had online.
Well, you know what? It went so well. Thank you for saying that. We worked very, very hard on that. And the Listening for God conference, it's still available if people want to check it out, listeningforgodconference.com. Thanks, Father. Keep it up. And we look forward to seeing you on the air soon.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa.
God bless. And happy feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. Beautiful book from our friends, Father John Trigilio and his partner on the air with this beautiful program, Web of Faith 2.0, Father Ken Briganti. And really, check it out, Web of Faith, A Curious Catholic's Answers to Theological Questions, published by EWTN Publishing. Speaking of EWTN, our very own Joan Lewis will be joining us in just about 2.5 minutes. She's stateside this week, but keeping a close watch on all things Rome, because as the old saying goes on her Facebook page, Joan knows Rome. Stay tuned. Joan Lewis coming up live.
Step away from the turmoil of the day. In A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, you'll find lessons that touch every aspect of our relationship with God and our neighbor. These meditations and prayers will help you turn to Jesus in your everyday life. A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I must tell you that from what I observe from very young people, all of these blasphemers, all of these mockers are in for a tough time. Because the devil bites his own tail. And I find among young people a growing reverence and longing for God. I find a decline in the cynicism and skepticism around, because it had to destroy itself. No one can live on being an enemy of God. It's too crazy. It's too absurd. It's too dark. It's too bleak. God is beautiful. God is holy. Why in the world mock God?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Nine minutes past the hour. Joan knows Rome, and Joan is stateside, but still keeping a watch on things over in Italy. We're glad that she landed safely and soundly in Chicago, visiting family and friends. So what was it like? And this is your first time home in how many months?
In 15 months. So,
wow.
I mean, like, just telling the taxi driver to take me to the airport was exciting, you know. And at Fiumicino, it was different because any time I've been there, there's a crowded airport, people going everywhere around the world. But this time,
right.
Only one of the three terminals was open.
Really?
And even that was, because normally, like, Terminal 3 is where your airlines, the inexpensive ones, fly from, and the Intercontinental and so forth. And then Terminal 1 is usually, like, just all Italian flights, Italian destinations. So only one terminal open, very few people. Check-in. Check-in was longer. I mean, there was a line I was checked twice before I even got to the counter to check in. They, wanted to check the passport. Did I have my COVID test? Because, of course, I couldn't have taken one step further if I didn't have that. Then I did have to fill out a form. We all did. Have to fill out a form, my name, my address, my cell phone, my email, and where I was staying in the United States. And this is for tracing purposes. I suppose, I don't know, does it go into a computer? So I had to fill that out, but then, I've been stopped twice. Now I go and I check in, get my seat, and I decided to upgrade, and so I did that. And then got to the separate terminal. You probably know that the USA flights leave from. You get a little train to that terminal. And everything was normal except that there were signs posted all over the place, about social distancing and wearing masks. And stores were open, your fancy stores, but I only saw one food place. And the gal had said the only place if you need coffee or a roll or something was near my gate. And then getting on the plane, there were so few of us, probably eight of us in business, and then probably, I don't know how many, because I didn't walk through the economy section, so I don't know how that went. But we were asked before we actually got on the plane, before we went down the stairs that would bring us to the plane, we did have to show that form. So that we had filled out when we first got to the airport. Now, I don't know whether that's going to be computerized and checked against us when we return, but, I mean, some people were leaving not to return. I'm going to be returning, of course. But then I got to New York, and everything was normal between, passport control, getting my luggage, bringing that to recheck, then getting a little train to a separate, terminal for my Chicago flight.
Mm-hmm.
And but even Chicago's different, though. There's far less traffic. I've seen stores. I'm near my two blocks from the Magnificent Mile, and but there's big hotels are closed. The Westin, always one of the busiest, right there on the Magnificent Mile. That's closed. Your big upscale businesses are open. All the stores you would expect to find on, Rodeo Drive or the Magnificent mm-hmm. Mile, those are open. And the taxi driver, he was telling me the whole time, I didn't think I'd even find another human being in Chicago, according to him. And all the restaurants are outdoors. Well, that hasn't so far been my experience, Anyway, here I am.
Oh, so glad you made it safely. And I think it's interesting. We were chatting online back and forth about the different steps people take, and you said that COVID test was just as important as your passport.
As your passport. Oh, yeah, you could not have boarded the plane without it. Well, in fact, if I didn't have it, I couldn't have even gotten to checking in with my luggage, because that was the absolute first step. And, I mean, that's one of those things, because of two different things to do, show the COVID thing, and then, I said, do you want the vaccination? Because, of course, I have that with me. And nobody was interested in seeing the vaccination thing. But I'm going to carry it with me from, now till forever. Yeah. So.
Well, it's interesting because the article that we were reading on The Local, which is a great resource, you got me hooked on it, I now subscribe to it, talking about a lot more COVID-free flights in which Italy is interested. And so that could change some things in terms of And again, those COVID-free flights mean that you have to test before you get on the plane when you land in Fiumicino and then before you get back on. So we'll see what happens. Things are changing so rapidly here and overseas. So it's day by day that we look at this, but good news, I think, all around.
And, you know, Teresa, if a country like Italy, whatever country, if they want to have people have had the COVID test and be able to show that to get on the plane and into the country, I have absolutely no problem with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Italy was the worst hit, you know, in the beginning stages in Europe. And they've wanted to be careful. They don't want to close restaurants and stores and make businesses go bankrupt and everything. They don't want to do that. But then there's part of you that has to err on the side of caution. And so if they demand that, the negative COVID test, then fine. And as far as I know, I mean, I have to have one here before I get on the plane to return to Rome. So I'll have to find out. I think you can get it at a lot of pharmacies.
Yes, you can get it at a lot of different pharmacies in the U.S. Well, I want to really talk about your experience 40 years ago today. Today, obviously, the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and also the 40th anniversary of the assassination attempt in St. Peter's Square on John Paul II. So you wanted to take us back there. So share with us your thoughts.
To be in the square. Well, the audiences at that time, general audiences were on Wednesday, but at 5 o'clock in the evening, because it was just so hot at noon, people would be dying in the square. So I was walking towards St. Peter's Square, having just come back from lunch with some friends. Well, not just, but anyway. And I heard there was a group of kids, probably 10 years old, and their teachers walking away from the square. I thought, you know, why not walking too? And I hear a scream. In Italian, they've shot the Pope. Well, I want to tell you what paralysis feels like. I don't think I moved. It could have been a second. It could have been a minute. I was riveted to the ground. Anyway, then I did start running towards the square, and in every language I knew how to speak, I asked what people saw. And I ran into an American group of tourists, of pilgrims, and led by a priest who was probably 6'5", if he was an inch, and a big football player type of guy. And he said to me, I must have said in English something, and he came over and he said, "What do you know about the two women in our group who were shot?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And I'll never forget their names, Teresa, Ann Odra and Rose Hall. And one was a woman in her 60s, and the other was a young gal coming back from visiting her husband in the service in Germany. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when I got back to the press office, please remember, folks, that there are no cell phones, there's no internet, there's no nothing out there that we could use. And so I went back to the press office, and I was the only one who knew about the two American women wounded. And I actually went to Santo Spirito Hospital, I think it was the next day, where they'd been brought. But, you know, the bit is coming in from just witnesses, and then you've got the press office going mad. And Navarro Valls was not at the press office yet. But anyway, we just had to wait around. We all had our little desks and cubicles and phones and typewriters. And we just had to wait for news to come in. That was the worst part. I think if you could have passed out from anxiety, it would have been waiting for that. Because, Teresa, none of us could write the bottom line to our story. You know, the bottom line being, did the Pope make it or not in surgery? And so it was only that you could put your article together bit by bit. We knew that this was a Turkish fellow who had fired the gun. It was a nun who had knocked him down from firing anymore. But the interesting thing that I discovered, I don't remember how long after this attack, we knew the Pope had been brought to Gemelli Hospital. But I remember, because I was working, when I started working for the Vatican, and one day I went over to their medical center for something, and on the floor of the entrance to the building where all the doctors and nurses work, there's a plaque that says that's where the Pope was first brought, before he went to Gemelli, because I'm sure they had to, through his vestments, think about it. Where had he been hurt? How badly had he been hurt, you know? And so it was just weeks of anxiety, waiting for the news. The Pope, I remember, you could hardly hear him, but they did have a microphone in his room. He didn't want to miss the Regina Caeli, that first Sunday. And I know he wore the brown scapular, and when he discovered that the scapular was all covered with blood, which I have seen the scapular, he asked immediately to have a new one. So, an amazing.
It's amazing. 40 years ago today, and then, of course, the bullet from the gun of Ali Aja goes into the,
crown
of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which we actually saw when we were there. Pilgrimage with Steve Ray a few years ago. Yeah, it's just so incredible. And
the
then, of
40
course,
years,
yeah,
I
go
have
ahead.
Not forgotten the detail.
Stands out in your mind.
I don't have to look up the name of the women. I always will remember them, you know, the two Americans wounded when one of the bullets bounced, I guess, off of the car or something like that.
And when you're standing in St. Peter's Square, if you're looking up to the right of the image of Our Lady, you see the image of Our Lady, and that was put there after, of course, the shooting by John Paul II.
And if you mm-hmm. would just take a taut line and put one end of that long line up at the image and bring it down to the square, at that point in the square, there's a plaque that says that that's where the Pope was shot. So I don't know if you knew that. But next time
I didn't know that detail. I did know about the mosaic, and I did know about the plaque, which I've seen and stood at many, many times. And just so historic, and we think about so much in our faith that we have in terms of Our Lady of Fatima and this beautiful feast day and just the beauty of our faith and also the history of the papacy. But I know what you mean when you have stories like that and they stick in your mind, every single detail, right?
Absolutely. Well, earth-shattering, once in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Your mind almost, Teresa, I don't know how to explain it. Your mind almost doesn't know how to absorb it.
Right.
The words, they've shot the Pope, they didn't make any sense. My brain could not process that. Mm. And then all of a sudden your brain does come alive, and then the rest is, you know. I think I got home at 2 in the morning. And of course there's no food, no dinner, no nothing, you know. Any little coffee bars where you might have gotten a sandwich had closed by 8 o'clock, but nobody wanted to leave the press office, and because people were near their phones, their landlines, to let their newspaper or television know what was happening, and then people started, the media started sending people to Rome, obviously, to cover the story. But a friend of mine who was a policeman actually brought me half a sandwich and a coffee. Aww. When he knew what happened. I know. And then I got home, and I had just written notes out. The printed story came later, but I had written out a story which I then dictated to the National Catholic Register.
Because
I was their correspondent, their bureau chief in Rome at the time.
You should, Greg, do you still have that article? Could you find it somewhere? That'd be neat to post it if you could. I mean, I know if you think about it, you know.
Well, it was written on paper.
Maybe if you found it, take a picture of it and put it up, because that would be really cool.
I will. I'll go through my files, but I'll also ask the Register if by any chance in their archives they have it, of course it was published, you know. And then at that time, I didn't have a fax or anything else as their correspondent, so my weekly news stories were transmitted on Monday nights over the phone by dictation. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, a millennia ago, but that's how quick, 40 years is, but, you know, how the media and communications have advanced in the meantime.
Well, also, I think, when you're covering a major story like that, people don't understand that when something like that breaks, you don't leave. You have to stay there, and you have to get updates. Even in today's times, I mean, the good reporters will go to the scene, some who don't. I mean, the World Communications Day statement mentions that, too, the importance of hitting the streets. But, it's a huge thing. I remember clearly I was very involved in the coverage of the Oklahoma City bombing, and that left a huge impression on me. Listen, we have to run. We will talk soon. When are you going back to Rome? And we'll be on with us next week?
I leave. Oh, yes, I will be. Sure. I leave on the 25th.
Okay, so you'll be around for a little bit. Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you, my dear. Enjoy your time stateside, and look forward to speaking again next week. Joan Lewis, visiting friends and relatives. First time in some 15-plus months. We're glad she made it safely. Good news all around. Things opening up. Thank you, Jesus. We'll be right back on a Thursday.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds.
The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Thursday and every day here on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. Looking forward to our weekly chat with Doug Keck tomorrow, the inside word on great programming. Plus, we're also going to take a closer look, up close and personal, as we say in the news business, powerful World Communications Day statement from the Pope for World Communications Day, which is this weekend. Talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.